Truly tragic story this morning as a family in County Tyrone prepare for the funeral of their son and brother. 17-year-old Ronan Hughes is believed to have taken his own life after being tricked into posting images on a social networking site. Police say a crime is not suspected and inquiries are continuing, but they issued advice to young people about the need to be careful when using the internet. The parish priest, Benny Fee, says the close-knit rural community has been left stunned and blamed faceless individuals for intimidating Ronan. The Children's Commissioner, Kula Yusuma, is with us this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
It's just every parent's worst nightmare, this, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And I speak not only as the Children's Commissioner, but as the mother of teenagers. And it is every parent's worst, and it's every community's, as the priest said, every community's worst nightmare. And my deepest sympathy goes out to Ronan's family and his friends. It's just, it is horrific. It's just the most scary thing ever.
And obviously at that age, at any age, some people feel that there's no way out.
And that's, I think, I mean, it's too early to learn yet from what happened to Ronan and to see what, but there is something about that there's nothing that you can't talk to somebody about, and that would be my plea to parents and to anybody who cares for children and to children and young people themselves. There's nothing so awful that you can't talk about it with somebody and find a way through whatever situation that you find yourself in. The minute you think you're in trouble, the minute you get those warning signs, you know, sometimes we get warning signs in our bodies. We get, you know, butterflies in our stomach. We stop sleeping. We get those early warning signs that something's not right, that we may be involved in something when we're out of our depth. Please, please, please talk to somebody, whether it's somebody at school, whether it's a school counsellor, whether it's your friends, whether it's your parents, whoever. Hopefully we can sort it, and every young person and child should have a group of people they feel comfortable talking to if they need some help and support. And that's my absolute plea to everybody listening today.
Kula, thank you. Good morning to you. The child protection expert Jim Gamble with us today. Morning, Jim.
Morning, Stephen.
How widespread is this type of I think trickery is too light a word, actually. This type of cornering of an individual on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm struggling to imagine how this can have happened without a criminal offence having been committed. But perhaps that's a conversation for further down the road. Young people...
I think when the police say a crime is not suspected, because I actually, in my own mind, when I was reading it out this morning, Jim, I challenged that in my own mind. I'm reading that as the police thinking that a crime is not suspected around the death, the actual circumstances in which Ronan died. But just give me, in terms of your former police officer, just give me your understanding of how crimes might have been committed here.
Well, this is an area where sometimes young people become involved in legitimate relationships with other young people. Because of their age, they make foolish decisions. They perhaps share an intimate image of themselves. And then whenever that relationship ends, the other partner sometimes, out of feeling hurt or wanting to get revenge, shares it. And that is extremely traumatic for young people, because an intimate image being shared... I mean, think about the things...
Jim, I'm going to interrupt you for a reason. Obviously, you're talking generally here, and you're not, absolutely not, talking about the specifics of this case involving Ronan Hughes, because we don't know the specifics and we don't know the detail.
Absolutely. And so I'm beginning by talking about when there's a relationship and people share and the trauma that can cause. And then at the other end, the other extreme, and I have no idea what the background of this case is specifically, but at the other extreme, where people go online, engage a young person, and very quickly ascertain their age, their sex and their location, begin a sexualized conversation as if they are someone from the opposite sex or a gender that they are attracted to, and get them, trick them into giving them an image of themselves, video streaming an image of themselves by committing an intimate act. That type of engagement is often criminal these days, insofar as once it's been done, the relationship will change and there will be threats There'll be blackmail. If you don't do this or don't do that, we will in fact share this image. And that causes massive trauma. And I think, you know, we say about, you know, talking to someone. Imagine the things that you did when you were growing up in school, those intimate things when you were coming to terms with your own sexuality. Would you want those shared anywhere? And imagine how difficult it is to talk. The law itself is not helpful in this regard. We're not getting it right in schools. And we really need to improve all round. And if you're a mum or dad listening to this...
Well, how's the law not right?
Well, the law's not right insofar as we've got to encourage children to come forward. Too many, you know, internet experts or so-called internet experts go out there and reinforce the simple message that once it's online, it stays online. Now think about it. When a child is in a difficult spot, that message is not helpful. And secondly, that if you share an image, even as a child, because you're under 18, you've created an indecent image of a child and you're guilty of a criminal offence. That's where the law is wrong. That's accurate as it stands today, but that cannot be right. A young person that makes a mistake needs to be able to come forward without feeling that they're going to make themselves complicit in the commission of a criminal offence.
Well, the police have reassured in this case, because I heard it on the radio this morning, the police have been reassuring other young people who may have been exploited in a certain way, in a similar way, that they will not be in trouble if they come forward. So there must be flexibility, Jim, within the legislation.
But of course there's going to be flexibility with regards to how the police apply the law. But the fact of the matter is it shouldn't be down to the individual judgment of police at a particular moment in time. The law should protect young and vulnerable people who share images because of poor judgment. Someone who shares maliciously or with malice or on blackmail, they need to be held to account. But we need to shift things so that young people understand the sooner they come forward, the better, because images can be buried. There are steps that can be taken to make sure they can't be found. And actually, that they will not be in trouble with the law, full stop. But it's not going to be down to whether the police officer on duty or the particular force has a particular policy, but the law won't put them in trouble. But let me say this, Stephen. If you're a parent listening to this, you're going to be horrified and you're going to be terrified this could happen to your own child. Please use this as something positive. When you go home tonight, put to one side the 10 or 15 minutes to sit down with your child and don't become, you know, inquisitorial with them. Simply say, did you hear the news? How would you feel if that was one of your friends? How can this have happened? What do you do? What do your friends do? How can you make sure? Because the truth is this, if you don't know the person you're talking to online in the real world, you don't know them. You don't know their intent. You don't know whether they're real. You don't know whether they're who they say they are. So never, ever get involved in a conversation with someone you don't know. People have plenty of their own friends online these days without allowing themselves to be seduced and groomed by those with malicious or criminal intent.
Problem is, Jim, that many young people are a lot more internet savvy than their parents. Well, there'll be quite a few parents probably don't understand all this type of stuff.
Well, they don't, and they abdicate responsibility to their kids, and I understand that. But parents understand risk. They understand the risk of going down the wrong street at the wrong time of night, of going to the wrong club or place, because they grew up understanding that. They understand, you know, how to manage and mitigate risk. So the conversation with kids might use the internet fluently, but they really don't understand the risks. And I've been doing this now for, you know, 12 or 13 years, and you see it time and time again. Fluent users of the internet are very accomplished at engaging people, but they really don't understand the risk. And schools have a big role to play. We need to move away from rhetoric. We need to get into the classroom. The same way as we teach kids about cycling proficiency, we need to give them case studies about what to look for and what to do if they think someone's approaching them in an inappropriate way.
Jim, this will raise the profile of this case, the tragedy of this case in itself. Is gaining a huge profile because it's just devastating, isn't it? The young man at 17 years of age has taken his own life.
It's heartbreaking.
What about, Jim, the scenario where there are younger people listening to this programme on the internet later today, on a podcast, wherever they listen, and they have been sharing photographs of each other with each other, something that teenagers might do. What do they do now?
Well, my advice to them, first of all, would be to destroy any of the images that they have. If they're involved in a relationship with someone, you know, agree to destroy them. Talk to your parents. If you can't, you know, always talk to someone. One of the most fabulous charities out there, the one that stands head and shoulders above the rest, is Childline. You'll be able to speak to them either online, where you're assured of your anonymity, or you'll be able to speak to them on the phone, where you're also assured of anonymity. You'll be able to talk to people who really understand this. But don't fear. If you think you've done something, if you're worried, please talk to someone.
Because there are two different scenarios, Jim, aren't there? There is adults or indeed others of whatever age absolutely trying to exploit a young person against their will. And that is one scenario. The other scenario is when there are people volunteering to enter into an agreement with each other to exchange photographs. Now, if they are 15, 16, 17 years of age, they're still technically, although there is consent on both sides, they're still technically breaking the law, and they might be frightened now.
Yeah, well, exactly. And that's why, you know, in the longer term, the law needs to be addressed. But in the short term, the PSNI, you know, unsurprisingly, have taken a really, you know, pragmatic position on this and made it known to young people not to worry about coming forward. I have, you know, we often demonize the internet industry here. I've worked with Google, I've worked with Twitter on cases where they have worked, you know, all the hours that God sends to hide images and to get rid of them. We need to learn from this case, and we need to do something that builds a positive legacy, not least for the parents of this family. Let this be a turning point. You know, if you're a mom or dad or guardian, go home tonight, have that conversation. If you're a child, listen to this. Reflect on how you'd feel if this was one of your friends. And think, do not share anything with anyone you don't know. And think about when you're online, on your Facebook page or another, when you're asked by AskFM or Snapchat, and I've no idea which social media sites were involved, but when you're asked to use your Facebook credentials to join up, because you're sharing in one platform and you're mirroring what you share in another. So we'll see what happens as this case unfolds, but we need a much stronger campaign in schools. We need to equip children with knowledge that makes them safer. We need to engage parents better, and we need to change the law so that young people do not feel intimidated about coming forward.
Okay, Jim Gamble, thank you. The Mid Ulster SDLP, Councillor Malachy Quinn, with us this morning. Morning, Malachy.
Morning, Stephen.
I know you know the family who I can't find a word to imagine how they must be feeling this morning.
No, the family's devastated and the whole community's devastated over the death of Ronan. The family lived down half a mile down the road from me. I didn't know them that well. I didn't know Ronan. Unfortunately, he's a bit younger than me, but I know the community. I've been down, out and about, down to the shops, just listening to people, talking to people, and everybody is talking of their own devastation for the family, for themselves. The fact that something like this, you hear about it on the news, you hear about it in England, you hear about it in America, you don't ever expect it to hit so close to home, and the people are in absolute shock.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Malachy Quinn. Here are some numbers. If you do feel that you need to talk to someone, as Jim Gamble was saying this morning, the Lifeline number 0808 808 8000, 0808 808 8000, 24 hours a day number for the Samaritans, 08457 90 90 90.